Good morning, church. How are we doing? Glorious. I heard a glorious. That's awesome. How many had a great week? How many had a week? How many had oh my goodness, I'm glad it's over and it's Sunday week. Anyone? A few of us. Regardless of what kind of week you had, you are here in the house of the Lord, and we are worshiping our Savior. Amen? Amen. And there is no better place to be, in my opinion. Today is a special day, because one, it's not raining, but two, some people are going to get wet regardless. We got a baptism Sunday today. I'm excited about that. And in a few minutes, we're going to celebrate with five people as they take a very public step of faith, declaring Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. And I don't know about anybody else, but I think for me, it is probably I don't think I'll ever get tired of seeing people connect to Jesus. I don't think I'll ever get tired of that. And I'm excited about today because every baptism represents a story, right? I'm going to move this forward because if I'm right here, it's like wham. Now I just see spots. But it represents a story of grace, a story of forgiveness, a story of transformation, a story of someone saying, my life belongs to Jesus, and I love that. And for some, this step comes only after a very short period of following Jesus. And for others, it might be years of following Jesus. The one thing about it, regardless of that, every baptism represents a powerful reminder that Jesus is still changing lives today. And before we celebrate with those that are being baptized, I want to take just a few minutes and answer a simple question. Why does it matter? Because for some people, right, baptism is something that they have seen their entire lives. And for others, it might be newer to their faith, still have questions about really what it means. And so we want to look at that. And honestly, I think that there are lots of opinions and different understandings about water baptism, because faithful Christians have held different views about baptism throughout church history. You know, some baptize infants while others practice believers' baptism. Some view baptism primarily as a symbol of faith, while others see it as a simple means through which God imparts grace. While we respect all those different views, here at New Life Fellowship, we practice believers' baptism because we believe that the pattern that we see in the New Testament is that people hear the gospel, place their faith into Jesus Christ, and then are baptized as a public declaration of the faith. So today I want to look at what the Bible actually says and teaches about baptism, because water baptism, if I am being just as blunt as can be, water baptism is more than just a religious tradition, right? And it's an important part of what we believe as a church. It's one of our two ordinances here at New Life, is communion and water baptism. And so we're going to look at that. And water baptism is one of the first acts of obedience that Jesus calls us to after salvation. And it's one of the most powerful pictures of what Jesus has done for us. So what is the significance of water baptism? I believe there are four reasons water baptism is important. And the first one is this: water baptism is a command, not an option. Before Jesus ascended back to heaven after his death, burial, and resurrection, and the time hanging out with the disciples and other people, he gave his followers these instructions. And we find them in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus said, came to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Then he goes on and says, go and make disciples of all nations. Doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, even to the age of the earth. Now, this is a command. I also believe strongly that it is the mandate for church, right? It's our mandate. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to follow my commands. That is the mandate of the church. And one of the very first steps of obedience of Jesus, he calls us to take right after we place our faith in him in baptism. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you belong to me, don't keep it private. Let the world know. Baptism is not about earning salvation. It's about obedience and identification. You picking up what I'm throwing down? It's about us obeying, and it's about us being identified in Christian. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, the Greek word for baptize is really, really a tough one to say. You guys want to learn a Greek word? Yeah. Okay, everybody repeat after me, baptizo. Baptizo. Whew, isn't that tough? Say it again, baptizo. Baptizo. You now know Greek. Baptizo means baptism, right? It means to immerse or submerge. So that's baptism. Today we have people taking the next step of faith and obedience. And what they're saying to all of us is that Jesus, you're saying to Jesus first, I belong to you. My sins have been forgiven because of what you did on the cross. My life belongs to Christ. I am choosing to follow you, Lord. Now, whether someone has been following Jesus for 2 days or 20 years, baptism is still an act of obedience that declares that I belong to him. And when you read the book of Acts, you quickly notice that the early church treated baptism really with a sense of urgency. After Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the people asked what they should do. And in Acts 2:38, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized. In Acts 2:41, it says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Could you imagine going to that baptism service? Now, baptism back in the first century looks a little bit different than we do today. But holy cow, that would be an amazing baptism day. I just read recently in Florida, I could be wrong, but it was Church 1122 that they had baptism in the ocean, and there was some 11,000 people that they baptized. Did you guys read that? Something like that. And the number might be wrong, but a ton of people. That is so amazing to me. And we have 5 in Conrad. And we also see the same thing with the Ethiopian official in Acts chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 26 through 40, let me read it. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk alongside the carriage. Philip ran over. He didn't just walk. He didn't dawdle. He ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? Excuse me. The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture that he had been reading was this. This is so amazing. It's going to blow your mind today. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, And as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with that, the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. He shared the gospel. And as they rode along, they came to some water. And the eunuch, I love this, said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. That messed with you a bit, I think. Don't you think? You're with this guy, and he just baptized you. You come up out of the water, and you're going like this, and then he's gone. Whoo! So the Holy Spirit snatched him away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself further north at the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. So we see this urgency, right? We also see this urgency in Paul's life after his conversion in Acts chapter 22, verse 16. It says, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Excuse me. Have your sins washed away by the calling on your name, calling on the name of the Lord. Man, I'm having a hard time. So again and again, we're seeing people responding to Jesus in faith and then following that faith with baptism. And the thing that they understood was this, that baptism wasn't the source of their salvation, but it was the important step of obedience to the one who saved them. You picking up what I'm throwing down? If you are, say uh-huh. Uh-huh. All right. The second reason water baptism is so significant is because water baptism is a declaration of our faith in Jesus Christ. Water baptism is a public declaration. Now, in the first century church, actually before that, when John the Baptist was baptizing people in water, you know what the practice was then? You would come down, you'd stand in the water, you would confess your sins to everybody on shore, repenting, then you were baptized. How many of you would do that today? Right? It was a very, very public declaration. It's still a public declaration to us, right? It is the stepping out from behind the shadows, from shame and guilt and fear and insecurity, and boldly saying, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. It is telling the world that my old life is behind me. Jesus has changed me. I belong to him. And when someone is baptized, they are identifying themselves. Everybody say identifying. Identifying themselves with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They are declaring that I believe that he came. I believe that he died. I believe that he was buried. I believe that he rose from the dead. And I believe he is alive today and he is Lord. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward faith. You hearing me? It is the visible testimony of what Jesus has already done in our heart. And the third reason water baptism is so significant is water baptism is a funeral. Now that sounds a little strange, but think about what baptism represents, right? It represents dying to the old self, right? And then the old life of sin is no longer defining you, and you have chosen to place your life in Jesus, be baptized into Christ. Paul explains it this way in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Paul says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. What is Paul saying right there? He's saying that God's grace is not a blank check. Should we keep on sinning that grace may abound? No. That's what he's saying. No. Since we have died in sin or to sin, now we can continue to live. How can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united, I am struggling reading today, sorry. United with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Water baptism is a public burial service for the old life. Picking it up what I'm throwing down? This is one reason why we practice water baptism by immersion. The symbolism is extremely powerful. You go under the water, you're representing burial of the old self. You come up out of the water representing a new person in Christ, a new creation in Christ. And as Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it's on the shirts of all the people that are getting baptized. And Paul again saying, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Church, that is great news. It's great news. Your past no longer gets the final word. Your past doesn't get to continue to define you. Jesus does. And then the fourth reason water baptism is so significant is water baptism is a resurrection. Baptism is not just about the death and the burial. It's also about the resurrection. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When a believer comes up out of the water, they are declaring, I am not who I used to be. The old life is gone. Jesus has made me new. And from this day forward, I want to live for his glory. That, listen, candidates for baptism, that is what you're declaring today. When you come up out of the water, that is what it means. And Paul continues this thought in Romans chapter 6, verses 8 through 11. And he goes on and says, and since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead. And he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. What is Paul saying? He's saying this. We don't go back to play with dead things. Your old life, your old man's dead. We don't pick it back up. We don't go play with dead things. We don't go back to the dead habits, the dead attitudes, the dead sins, the dead ways of living. Because you have been made new in Christ. Does that make sense? And then Romans, Paul says in verses 12 through 14, do not let sin control the way that you live. Did you know that you can control that? You get to be the boss, right? You get to be the boss of your big self. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give into the sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your body, your whole body, as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. Everybody, let's say that together. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. What an amazing picture that is. Think about it. People who have been brought from death to life. People who have been rescued by grace. People who have been made new through Jesus Christ. That is amazing. At least I think so. Carrington, do you think that's amazing? Oh, yes. Beth, do you think that's amazing? Lennox, do you think that's amazing? Bexley, where are you at, girl? You think that that's amazing? And there's Gabs. Is that amazing? There's six of us that think that's amazing. So let me wrap this up so we can get to celebrating. For those who are getting baptized today, I need you to hear me. I want to leave you with this final thought. Water baptism is not about joining a church. It's not about becoming a member of an organization. It's not about being baptized into New Life Fellowship. It's not about that. Today, it is about being baptized into Christ Jesus. It is about publicly identifying with Jesus. And it's about declaring that your old life has been buried and a new life has been raised up and began. It's about saying that Jesus is my Savior. It's about Jesus is my Lord. It's about saying, and from this day forward, I will serve you and I will follow you. I will use my life to bring you glory. That's what you're saying today when you are baptized. It is a public declaration. And church family, this is a celebration for us because God is still at work in people's lives. And so we get to gather around these guys and we become witnesses to the testimony of God's doing in their life, right? It's a testimony that we get to celebrate and be a part of. So I'm going to invite those being baptized to make their way out and go get changed. And the rest of us will remain here. We're going to worship. We're going to sing a song together and while they get ready. And then we're going to just give God thanks for his grace and his transforming power. And then the new life that these five people are going to declare today with us as their church family. Amen? So stand with me. Let's celebrate together. And then I encourage you to stick around and witness the baptism. Cool? Cool. Let's do it.